We are turning the corner now, brothers and sisters, in our study of this famous love chapter. Turn back there again, 1 Corinthians 13. I can relate to the commentator Leon Morris at the end of expounding this great text. He feels so inadequate in the face of such a majestic passage. He said that soiled and clumsy hands have touched a thing of exquisite beauty and holiness. Paul's main point here couldn't be clearer. He introduced it in chapter 12, verse 31. I show you a still more excellent way. He ends, as we're going to see, in chapter 13, verse 13. The greatest of these is love. He begins chapter 14 saying, pursue love. Love is our priority, our pursuit, our top concern in the body of Christ. Don't walk the unloving, selfish way. No, walk this way, the more excellent, superior, better way of love. We saw in the first three verses, love keeps you from a wasted life. Verses 4 to 7, love means learning to live the super 15 year round, the 15 great perfections of love. But now Paul climbs even further up. He rises even higher in his praise of love to prove that this is the more excellent way. Look at what he says in verse 18, love never fails. This is the golden hinge into this third and final section of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This phrase sums up the previous verses and introduces the upcoming verses. Love never fails. Think about some of the oldest things on the earth. The bristlecone pine tree in the White Mountains of California. Prometheus is its name. Chopped down in 1964, they counted up its rings, found it was 4,862 years old. Sexostopungia muta is a giant barrel sponge in the Caribbean, estimated to be in excess of 2,250 years old. Adwaita, a giant tortoise, died in 2006 at the age of, any guesses? 255-year-old turtle. Genesis tells us the oldest person to live. Children, you remember? That's right. Methuselah, 969 years. Michelle and I and Ev and Ty had a privilege a few years back to visit the ruins of Greece, some dating back 3,000 years. In Egypt, we got to see the pyramids dating back 4,000 years. This is a longevity that demands your respect. It commands your attention. It draws tourists from around the world. We honor things that last, don't we? One of the ways we measure the value of something is how long it lasts. Well, that's Paul's criteria for love. He's going to show us how long love lasts, how it outlasts the spiritual gifts, which the Corinthian church were so preoccupied with and so enamored with. This Greek word here in verse 8, fails. It's the same Greek word when Eutychus fell from a third-story window in Troas while Paul was preaching, Acts chapter 20. For when Ananias and Sapphira fell dead at Peter's feet. But that will never happen to love. Love never dies or comes to an end or falls or fails. Love is never defeated, never gives up, never wears out. Song of Solomon chapter 8, verse 7, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it out. It's like that Energizer Bunny, if you saw that commercial years ago, beating its drum, marching forward, just keeps going. Thump, 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 thump. Love never fails. Romans 8 assures us nothing can separate us from God's love for us in Christ. Absolutely nothing. God's love in Christ is relentless and unceasing. I love that new Chris Anderson hymn that I've told you about before. The relentless love that pursues us in Christ. But as recipients of God's love, we are caught up in that mighty current, and we become channels of that torrent of love flowing through us to others and to one another in the body of Christ. We love because he first loved us, 1 John 4 tells us. We keep loving because he keeps loving us. God's love for us is not a consumer love when it's convenient. His love for us is a covenant love based on what he's promised. And so our love for one another ought to be that kind of covenant love. Love never fails. George Matheson's famous hymn eloquently captures this unfailing love of God for us. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee, and I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be. Matheson knew that God's love was not some weak, flimsy, temporary emotion. No, he pictured God's love as ocean depths and sunshine's blaze. And this is a pattern for our love for one another. Love never fails. But how does love last? Paul's going to show us here in this final section, verses 8 to 13, five ways love lasts, so that love will be our priority and our pursuit now and for eternity. First way that love lasts, verse 8, love outlasts the gifts. Keep reading. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. In contrast to love, here's something that does fall and fail and expire. It's spiritual gifts, the very thing that Corinthians were so ecstatic and obsessed with. They thought spiritual gifts were what made them such a vibrant church. So Paul writes of the demise of their three favorite gifts at Corinth, as Paul describes also in chapter 12 and again in chapter 14. Prophecy, remember how in chapter 12 they thought it was so foundational. After the apostles, prophets were the next ranking gift, crucial without a completed New Testament canon, especially in the early church. Paul says, but prophecy, verse 8, will be done away. How about tongues? 1 Corinthians 14 shows it's a sign of God's judgment on Jews. It's a powerful tool for evangelism then. It's an extension of Pentecost and what God did at Acts 2. And God's people declaring his praise in a variety of known human languages. But Paul says, as impressive as they are, tongues will cease. And then third of all, knowledge, he says, will be done away. Remember, this was Corinth. They were bursting with know-it-alls. The clever man took all the prizes in the Greek world. They worshiped knowledge, as 1 Corinthians 8 talks about. And then they had these special gift of the word of knowledge that they coveted, and a spiritual gift mentioned in chapter 12. They longed for this special spiritual insight and understanding, but Paul says, knowledge will be done away. Obviously, not all knowledge disappears in heaven. He's going to tell us how we know fully, but he's talking about the spiritual gift of special knowledge, similar to the gifts of prophecy and tongues. It'll all be done away with, abolished. More on that tomorrow.